Let's turn to Christian Hymnals, number 39. We all are painfully aware of some of the events of the past week, and so we're going to kind of maybe have things a little bit different as far as the music goes. If for some reason you don't get a chance to select a song, just make it known somewhere, somehow. Try to be receptive to that. My particular memory with about every song that I'm going to be picking for the first three songs here, and this one, I just remember over and over. It seemed like we used to sing it more often, and I often think of Robert Weaver on this song just from the bass and nice sound. I can just hear him singing. So I'd like to think about him while you're singing this piece. Number 39. Let's stand for these first three songs. may be seated. Next one is number 512. And see if you can guess who might have. This might have been a special song. Anybody know? That's right. Just really miss Grandpa a lot. So why don't we have, let's see. Let's sing the chorus on the first and last verse. Men, you sing the second verse. Ladies, you sing the third verse. No chorus on the second and third, just the first and last. In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered, I abide. There no floods nor storms molest me, while within that cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, burgeon and grow, and just we weren't all that great of friends before, but I consider Levi a great friend of mine and much richer for it. Number 49. Oh, what a fellowship, what a joy divine on the everlasting. Secure from all.
what's going to want to add to what we've already said. Treading softly, we're here in a holy place, meeting before a holy God. And then we finish up by leaning on his arms. What greater place can we be than leaning on the arms of Jesus? He's our all. He's our everything. Well, let's look at someone who did lean, I think, on the arms of Jesus. When Levi called and asked me whether I would do this, my mind was drawn whenever I think of hymn sings and singing. You probably know where I'm going. There's one writer in the Old Testament that talks much about singing and praise and thanksgiving and glory and honor. To who? Someone tell us. To the Lord. That's right. To the Lord. Let's look at Psalms. I'm going to be doing a little skipping around here in Psalms, mostly. We're going to be reading Psalm 96, but I want to read a couple of other verses before that. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It's a good thing that we've come together tonight to do. The Bible says so. We can have his blessing. We can have God's blessing. It is a good thing that we have come together to do. Looking then at Psalm 95, I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 95. Not reading the whole psalm there. It says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Why do we think about the rock of our salvation? What's about a rock that we would sing to the... Why is this called to the rock of our salvation? Rocks? Well, you know what? I hadn't thought of this till right now. But I was helping Levi the other day to prepare the burial site. We found out what rocks are all about. It took a lot to move those rocks. They were very solid. They were very set. They didn't plan to move. Fortunately, we were able to do that. But the rock of our salvation, the solid place, the abiding place, that which is solid doesn't move. See, when we think of something, a big rock, we think of something that doesn't easily move. Well, what does he say here? He says, "Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." I trust that's our desire this evening. It says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." I don't know how many are familiar with sheep. Are we sheep? Sheep can be taught. Sheep are much more easily led than they are driven. It's hard to drive sheep. Try to drive sheep, they will very likely just go in all directions. But sheep can be led. Sheep can be led. It makes me think of my father. He had his cows trained that he would lead his cows. In his elderly years, when he was by himself on the farm, of course, our family would come home sometimes and be there together, and he'd want to do something with the cattle, move them from one field to the other. And we said, "Well, Dad, can we help you?" "Well, yeah, you can go along, but there won't be anything to do." And, of course, we knew why. And he'd take his pickup out, put a bale of hay on the back. He'd say, "Now you stay in the truck, don't get out, because they don't know you." He'd start honking the horn, calling the cows, talking to them. He could lead those cows anywhere he wanted to lead them, from one gate to the other, through a field, into the barnyard. Why is he saying here we are to be the sheep? Because sheep can be led. Are we leadable? Or do we have to be driven? Hopefully we don't have to be driven. Hopefully we don't have to be pushed and chased. But we're leadable. Okay? All right. Let's look at Psalm 96. says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." Because of that, he says in the next verse, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength." How do we do that? I think part of that is in our service this evening of singing, praising God, bringing glory and honor to his name. But more than that, he wants to see a life that reflects that glory and that beauty and that honor. All right, verse 8 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and his people, and the people with his truth. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne." Again, the Lord reigneth. We are to bring praise, honor, and glory unto his name. Psalm 98, verse 1 there, it says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Psalm 99, verse 1, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble." Let the people tremble. What does that mean? Why are we to tremble? We're to tremble when we realize the greatness of God, the mightiness of God, the all-powerfulness of God, and yet his love to us. We need to tremble because we are what? We are as nothing. We're undeserving. We do not deserve the love and the mercy and grace that God shows us each day. We don't deserve the blessings that he gives us. We tremble before him because of that. I'd like if we could all stand and read together Psalm 100. We notice that in the Old Testament, many times when the scripture or the law was read, what did they do? Pardon? They stood up. And you know, sometimes I think we get a little lazy. I'm talking to myself now. See, depending where we are, depending what kind of a crowd you're in, depending who walks by, depending who, what for song is sung, everybody around you stands up. Why do they do that? In reverence, right? Yeah, in reverence because of what the message was about. Is there a greater message than we have here? Anywhere? No, there's no greater message than this at all. And I think many times it behooves us to stand in reverence. Standing is a reverential position. All right, let's read together or say together. If you know it by heart, that's wonderful. I learned it many years ago, but I probably will watch my Bible a little bit so I don't get distracted and make a mistake. But let's say together Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth forever generations. What a psalm. Do we realize what we just said? What a psalm. What a message we have. Just a few more verses while you're standing. I would like to look at Psalm 90, the first two verses. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Can we serve anything greater than that? It's impossible. We can't. From everlasting to everlasting. He's always been. He always will be. Then the last verse I'd like to look at is the first verse of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide where? Under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that where we all want to be? And under the shadow, right beside, you know, if you're going to be in the shadow of something, you're not going to be a long ways off, are you? If the shade tree's out here, you're not going to stand out there in the middle of the parking lot and hope to get some shade. Don't work. You're going to have to be close by the tree. So if we want to stand in the shadow of the Almighty, that means we have to get pretty close. We have to get pretty close. We can't get that shadow when we're far away. So what does he say? He that abideth in that secret place. Have you discovered that secret place in your life? Where we can praise God, we can honor him, we can glorify him. With these thoughts in mind, let us bow our heads for prayer. Our kind and our righteous, our loving Heavenly Father, we're so small, thou art so great. As we looked at the words of the psalmist this evening, as he viewed your creation, as he viewed your handiwork, as he viewed your mercy and your love and your goodness to him, help us, our Father, that we might share that same thoughts, that we might be strengthened and encouraged. Thank thee, Lord, for the many words, the many psalms. We thank you for all your scripture that you have given unto us, realizing there is none greater. It is the greatest. Help us, our Father, that we might live lives and be acceptable unto thee. Bless our service this evening. Bless us as we bring praises to your name, that we might truly sing unto thee, not unto each other, not unto men, but that we might sing to thee, because thou art worthy of our praise, and you're the only one. Help us, Lord, to bring honor to thee from day to day as we go about our daily duties. Bless this congregation and all that they endeavor to do here, Lord. We pray that you would be very near to them and give them wisdom, direction, and guidance. Lord, that they might seek your face, and that your blessing could rest upon them. Go with us each one. Guide us and lead us. Bless us this evening. Give us voices, give us clear voices, Lord, that we might sing unto thee in a way that brings glory to thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Paul, for having the devotions for us and the challenge. At this time, I think we're going to have the children come forward. And is Jen Miller here? Yes, there she is. Would you kind of take charge of a couple songs? Would you? Okay. Children, you want to come forward and stand up here? Come up here and stand up across the front here.
Does somebody have a song? Greece?
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate that. I was supposed to ask you at lunch and completely forgot about it. So appreciate that. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but I remember when the youngsters would sing up here, Myron Miller saying, well, that's the chorus of next year or whatever. And it's amazing how many times that's turned over. I wouldn't be surprised if those children are parents by now and all that good stuff. And speaking of one other thing to do with children's songs, I don't know how many of you sing with your youngsters a lot, but sometimes when you're so tired and it's really hard to sing these songs. And then the wise man built his house upon the rock, as suggested. And you know what? It's not until you start singing that song when it's late that you realize how many verses that song has. And when you start out and you realize that you've got to get a house built on the sand and then on the rock and then they all get destroyed, it's a long haul and set in. Has anyone thought of a song that you would like to sing that you think of someone when you sing it? Okay, I heard someone, but I just couldn't tell who. Okay. All right. Care to say anything about it, Hope? Well, I know without even looking who it reminds me of. And I'm pretty sure probably some other people out there too. So it's so nice to have John and Rose here tonight and great friends. All right, well, the country's voice is pleading. After this, the young ladies group will assemble, the one that, Gwen, you're in charge of. 507. Oh, oh, our country's voice is pleading, man of God arise, his providence is leading, let me for you lies. Day gleams are already frightening, and promise blows the storm. Wide fields for harvest whitening, my glory first taught. Go where the waves are breaking on California shore. Christ's precious gospel taking, more rich than golden ore. On Allegheny's mountains through all the western rim, beside Missouri's fountains, rehearse the wondrous tale. The love of Christ unfolding, speed on from east to west, till all his cross
singing three songs this evening. The first song we're singing is A New Life, and a lot of us have been singing together. I don't know, it dates way back, and so when a bunch of us were together, I thought it'd make a nice opportunity to sing together some of the songs that we had sung in the past. And the second song we're singing is Come Apart and Rest, which is a tribute to Doreen, and we have many precious memories of singing that song, and I just thought it's one that we should sing again when we're together. And the final song talks about meeting over in heaven, and I just trust that each one of us, Pearl's leaving, that each one of us can meet there safely, even though we part our ways, and that we can meet together in heaven.
Shall end.
Called me, wanted me to install some equipment for him, and one of his things that he wanted, he said, if you install this for me, will you promise me that you will service it for at least 10-15 years? And you know, this is right after I heard about Robert, and I said you know, that depends on the Lord. It came out before I thought, but it is, I mean, we don't know what tomorrow holds. At this time, we're going to look to Brother James, I think has a song. And would you come up and lead that song for us, James?
Turn to number 638 in the church hymnal. I'm thinking, as I was thinking of new voices in the choir of heaven, and thinking recently when I lost my sister Magdalena, and also yesterday as we were here at the funeral service, there was another funeral service in Hartville, Ohio, one of my school teacher's wife's funeral. And the last time we were there at Sister Mag's funeral, well, I actually wanted to go see her. This lady's name is also Magdalena. I simply wanted to thank her for her part in my life, but I didn't do it, and so I missed that opportunity. I did call and speak with one of her children the other day and gave them some of my thoughts. But thinking of this choir in heaven, I know we don't sing this song very often, but it's a wonderful song, and it's really kind of a song that's a little bit like an ocean. It's a little bit difficult to get it going, but it does really result in a beautiful climactic ending. And as we think of the new voices in the choir, and how many more of people that we don't even know in heaven. I heard a sound of voices around the great white throne, with harpers harping on their harps to him that sat thereon. salvation, glory, honor, I heard the song arise as through the courts of heaven it rolled in wondrous harmonies. On the last verse, when we sing enthroned with him, their Savior King, I'd like for all you sopranos, at least the first sopranos, all of you that are comfortable with it, just sing that last two-thirds of the score an octave higher. I think some of you probably heard this. If you're familiar with it and you know how to do it, do it. If you're not, sing the regular part. All right, I heard a sound of voices. This is a song that takes a lot of energy. If you're able to, it would be nice if you stand, but maybe you want to do that. Before we sing, one other thing I just remembered, though, that I wanted to share with you also. So hang on, just we should try and be brief for this. But a number of years ago when we were traveling, by accident or design, we stopped at this place out in the West, and here we met Robert Weaver and his family out there. And what especially impressed me about that was that Robert said later it was one of the highlights of the trip. And can you imagine what a homecoming in heaven as people from home congregations and people assemble there? All right, think of that along with this song.
Oh, I heard a sound of voices around the great white throne, with harpers harp on their hearts to heave the Sabbath on. Salvation, glory.
Pitch again. We have that, probably I sharped that, or maybe put down just a half here.
Oh, so from every clime and kindred and nations from afar, as every ranks returning home in triumph from a war,
sing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. That was a request that came up here, and we all know that was one of David L.'s favorite songs. Interestingly enough, what Dad said about Robert Weaver's meeting us out there, I remember that very well. And kind of interesting when they were talking about him going out to the Black Hills yesterday. The first thing I thought of was that little meeting place. And another thing that happened is when I was on my, or not just me, but when we were on our honeymoon, we were out there, and we stopped at this little place. And I have a real pictorial memory. I remember a lot of stuff just by pictures. And this was kind of a seedy little joint, actually, that we were looking at these souvenirs. And I just began to look at this thing. You know what? I remember this was the exact place where we'd stopped and met Robert Weavers and brought the whole story back. I'd just about forgotten about it. And so maybe that was one of the highlights on our honeymoon. I guess not. Okay, let's see. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Now, really, I have to go by memory here, so you have anyone who really knows this song well, you just stick your neck out if I'm doing something wrong. And sadly, my voice is just really no range, so we start on so. I'm just going to blow do. I'm not even going to try to hit so right now. You guys take care of that. Do.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Don't you love when guys cry? Man, this is just rot. Let's have that men's chorus right now. Spirit of holiness, he said. 528 in the church hymnal, first song. All right. Get all that behind us. First song we're singing here.
Spirit of holiness descend. First song.
Sorry about all this. I really didn't expect to be snowballed like this. Really pitiful. They all charged up. Let's see. All right. God moves in a mysterious way. And Steve has something, he has a story he knows about this particular song, so I'm going to let him share that.
We were talking about this song this afternoon. Dad mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, and I didn't realize Brian was going to ask me to do this, but I just know a few things about the author, William Cooper. He wrote a couple other songs. Anybody remember any other songs he sang? There's a fountain. Oh, for a closer walk, and then there's at least one more.
Blessed be the time.
Maybe. That one's not coming to me.
Oh, for a closer walk,
what he said. And then there's another one we don't sing about meeting Jesus as we worship together, that really the words are very beautiful. If you look up William Cooper in the church hymnal, you'll find it there in the one number, I forget what it is, but beautiful words. This song specifically, God moves in a mysterious way. William Cooper struggled terribly with depression. He was probably needed some kind of help in some ways, and he struggled with his image and view of God, and the fact that he just felt he was lost in this speck of humanity that could never attain to the majesty and the holiness that God demanded, and spent some time in an insane asylum, actually. And this specific song he wrote one evening when it seemed like a spirit of just despair came upon him, that he could not survive the night. It was just too much. And he called for a cab. He lived in London, and told the taxi to take him, of course it was a horse-drawn cab, take him to the bridge, London Bridge, and he was going to throw himself off and just end this mess. As you remember, the fog, London's known for its fog, and in those days it was known for not just fog, but smog. It was the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, and the pollution was just awful. The smoke would come down, and you read some of those books of those days, the air was just thick with dirt. That night was a really bad night. The taxi guy just couldn't see, he couldn't find his way, it was just a mess, and he became exasperated. And finally he just stopped and he said, "I can't find it, just get out." And he got out, and here he was right back at his door that he had left. And the driver was lost, so it was a complete whatever. And he just felt very touched, and he went inside and wrote the words for the song that we'll sing.
See, 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5. Second verse. Immensely challenged with the testimony of Robert and his peace. The next song is "When Peace Like a River."
in last verse. Watching for a huge hero in that last verse. He's slower, more reflective on the third verse. Remember that part. Last verse, faster. Very powerful. You pitch that on E flat, do you remember?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
soul.
Well, I think we can all say that we've had lots of challenges. And I guess the thought came to me, you know, how are we going to handle these challenges as we go through this next week and the coming weeks? Are we going to be faithful in telling others? I think this is all we have. Turn time over to the ministry.